Okay. Are you all happy in your groups now? Yes. Okay. Now, one of the things that we can do, we normally do during this session is that I will ask a question and you will take the time to go and discuss and think through some things. Okay? Now, this afternoon, my question is, what is it that gives you confidence in life? What does something give you confidence? Or does a person give you confidence? What is it that gives you confidence in life? Is it your grades? Is it going to a good school? Is it being with someone? What is it that gives you confidence? Or who gives you confidence in life? Okay? Okay, you begin. Discuss that first. What is it that gives you confidence in life? Okay, are you done? Okay, are you done? Yes. Okay. What is it that gives you all confidence in life? Okay, let's ask the girls first. See, they all got no confidence. Okay, let's ask the girls. What gives you confidence? Sorry? Prayer. You say prayer, right? Okay, very good. Prayer. Prayer gives you, why does it give you confidence? Ask God? Okay, ask God to give you confidence, okay? Wow, very good. Okay, guys! Oh, you all got no confidence, okay? Where is your confidence? Okay, who? Anybody? No confidence? Jeremy?
In like preparation for something.
Preparing. Okay, effort, right? You put in effort, you feel confident. Alright? Okay, effort. Okay, anything else? Joseph? Grace gives you confidence. No? Grace from God doesn't give you confidence? Okay. Sec 2. Sec 2, where the Sec 2? Yes, Grace. What gives you confidence? Yeah, effort and preparation, right? Okay, your personal effort. If I put in a lot of hard work and preparation, I can be confident about something. Okay, anything else? Yanning, Olivia? Progress. Okay, progress gives you confidence. You move from one level to another level. Okay, guys, Sec 2?
Past experiences.
Past experiences, like what? Okay, you go through something like what? Winning the rugby finals, so the next time more confident, right? Yeah, a bit more. Don't be overconfident. Okay, confidence, past experience. Okay, Sec 3. Sec 3 girls. Encouragement, like who? Okay, family or friends give you confidence through their encouragement. Yeah. Like mommy. Mommy gives you a lot of confidence. Yeah. Okay, we take it as a yes. Okay. Anything? Achievement. You achieve something and then you become more confident after that. Okay, guys. Sec 3. We'll come to the... Okay, Sec 3? Don't have Sec 3, yeah. Okay, your group. Ethan. Samuel. Anything? Confident?
Friends.
Friends give confidence. Okay. Good, now let's move on to Sec 4. Girls. Confidence. What gives you confidence? Okay, experience and affirmation. You know, you become confident because of that. Okay, guys.
You know that other people are going through the same thing.
So, suffer together. Suffering together gives you confidence. Okay. When you are going through something together, that's a very important thing to have when you go to National Service next time. Okay? Confidence comes when you suffer together. Okay. So far everybody has been talking about, you know, your experiences, what you have gained or achievement. These are things that give you confidence. Okay? Now, there was one man that we all know, his name is Paul. And he has achieved a lot of things in life. Okay? And he, at one stage in his life, his confidence was in where he was brought up in, what family he came from, what tribe he came from, and what he achieved. Okay, like many of us, we all have a sense of confidence in the things that we have achieved or gone through, right? Like the more we achieve, the more we feel a bit more confident. Like for example, when I play water polo. Do you know what water polo is? What's water polo? Yes, a sport. Yes, it's a sport. But how do you play? You know what water polo is? Water polo is like it's like football, like soccer. You're right, like soccer. Instead, you play it in a bathtub. No, a swimming pool. Okay, have you ever played water polo before? Yes, no. Okay, one day we try again. Whenever the car park floods, we go and play. Huh? Well, I used to play water polo, and you know, you find a lot of confidence because you practice. You know, like for example, if you shoot the ball from halfway line and you shoot right for the corner of the goalpost, I can do that. And you know, you do it again and again and again. You feel tremendous confidence when you actually play in a game. Right, there's a lot of personal effort into it. And there was once I actually did it. It was the semi-finals. It was against ACS. And and it was a very crucial game, and whoever wins goes into the semifinals, and you know, the main player over the other side was, you know, his leg was cramping away, he couldn't play, and I was free, and I had the ball, and it was to the center line, and everybody was looking at me, and I raised the ball up, and I threw the ball through the air, and time stopped. And the ball floated through the air, everybody was looking at the ball, and it went right to the right-hand corner of the goalpost. And we won 8-7. But we went to the finals, we lost.
Never mind.
But you know, therein is the confidence. Naturally, we tend to find confidence when we know something well. Okay? And Paul was such a person. You can call him part of a pedigree. You know his pedigree? What's pedigree? It's a dog, right? We all come across this word. We think of dogs, right? Okay, who has a dog? Don't tell me. Huh? Dog, okay, only one? Nobody else got a dog. Okay, you have a dog? What kind of dog do you have? Golden Retriever. Is it? Is a Golden Retriever a pedigree? You don't know. You know, there are some, many dogs that are what we call mixed. Some pedigree. Pedigree means you have an ancestral line. Okay? Father was a Golden Retriever, mother was a Golden Retriever, grandfather, grandmother, Golden Retriever, and then passed down from one generation to another generation, and then come here. What's your dog's name?
Scott.
Okay, then come Scott. Okay, so that's called a pedigree. Can you see that? Okay, anybody else got dog? Monkey? Hamster? Sorry? Lucas, what do you have? What? Terrier. Okay, terrier. Terrier. Okay, terrier. Terrier, is he a terrier or? Okay, wow. I'm sure it's a pedigree, right? You understand the word pedigree? Pedigree means this is from, wow, very good bloodline. Pure bloodline. Pure bread. It's called pure bread. Okay, pure bread dog. Okay? So this is pedigree. Okay? Paul is pedigree. Father, R.I. Grandfather, R.I. Great-great-grandfather, Cakap Changi Primary School. Because they don't know R.I. R.I., R.I., R.I. Anybody here? R.I., R.I., R.I. Anybody here? Father, R.I., grandfather, R.I. Anybody? Okay. RGS. RGS, RGS, RGS. ACS, ACS, ACS. Who? Anybody here? Your mother?
Me only, but that's not very far.
Your what? RGS?
No, SCGS.
SCGS. Okay, probably SCGS. Anybody else? Father, mother, grandfather. My grandfather, alright. My father, alright. Me, St. Andrews. No, eventually I went to RJ, okay? I did go to RJ in the end. St. Andrews. Mark, St. Andrews. Father was St. Andrews, right? Grandfather? No. Okay. RGS, anybody? RGS, RGS, RGS. Your mom was from where?
Raffles.
You? No. Okay, never mind, don't worry. You didn't miss much. Okay? And basically Paul, wow, you know, he came from a rich family. He came from a city called Tarsus. Okay, where they have a lot of pass. Tarsus is a very rich man city. And he had the money, the parents had the money to put him into a very good school under a very good teacher called Gamaliel. And so he was trained, he was well taught, and he grew up well. Okay? But this is called pedigree. Let's turn to our Bible in the book of Philippians. Verse 4. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh. Chapter 3, verse 4. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the 8th day. Are you there? Okay, let's just read the whole thing together. Philippians chapter 3. And in verse 4. Okay, let's read together. Everybody read together until verse 6. Okay, ready, go. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Wow! Of the stock of Aaron, of the stock of ACS. Are you, your father was an ACS?
No.
Okay, so, but next time your children will go to ACS?
Maybe.
Your children will go to St. Andrews, no? Yeah, so here was Paul was of the stock of Israel, a Jew. He was he was someone who was a Hebrew of the tribe of Benjamin. Can you see that? So his background, sometimes what background you come from, people tend to have a confidence in. I come from this background. My father, do you know who my father is? Huh? Then your reply is, if you do not know who your father is, how should I know? When people tell you like that, well, who? You don't know who my father is. You see, you don't know. How will I know? Right? So sometimes we can have confidence because of our family background or which school we go to. Okay? But I like what Paul did. Paul decided, I'm going to set aside all these things. I'm going to set aside these things because these things don't matter when it comes to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, sometimes we all can have false confidence. False confidence in what we have, what we are brought up with. Can you see that? And sometimes that causes us not to know the Lord Jesus as we should. Okay, you can pass around the... And it's important for us to know. Now, am I of a pedigree stock? Well, I don't think so. I'm more like my dog when I... a dog that I used to have. It's a mix. Okay? A mix between a Pomeranian and a Pekingese, right? That's how you pronounce it. And it's a very short, very, real dog with very, fluffy, long ears. But still very short, long hair, short fella. And when he runs to you, I always like to, the dog call out to him, because when you call him, he will run to you. And the way he runs to you is very, very funny, because he's got very long ears, then he runs the thing, then his tongue sticking out, so he has three tongues instead of one. And he's a really, really funny fellow, and he will come to me, he'll start licking my toe, and I will hug him, and sometimes I don't bother about, whether he's licking me, is hygienic or not. I will just lie on the floor, and then he will just lick my face, I enjoy being with my dog. Okay? And, I'm not part of what we call a pedigree stock. Some of us may not be. But you know, it doesn't matter. Because, look at Paul. This is the example. He says, you know what? I indeed, in verse 7, what things were gained to me, these I accounted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now let me try to explain this. The word loss here is actually in the Greek, there's a, okay, just for the benefit of some of you, when the New Testament, when the Bible was written, it was written in Greek. So when you read it in Greek, there's a bit more meaning. And the word loss here is the word rubbish. He saw all that he achieved, all that he had, as rubbish. Huh? What do you mean by that? You mean my PSLE, what's the highest score you can get, PSLE? 300. Okay, my 298 score. Huh? It's nothing. You know, sometimes, wow, I get 275. You get, that's quite good, right? 275. Wow, that's a good number. And, you know, we can become very proud. In fact, some people, 230 something, wow, very proud. Right? No? Yes? But no. Okay. And sometimes, what we have gained, what we have achieved, we become very proud. Paul says, no. I count all this as rubbish. Okay? I count all this. Now, there's another word here. I count all this as loss. I count all these things as rubbish. Okay? Another word for it. Count them as rubbish. Now, in verse, there's two. How many times the word? There's one loss. You see, loss. In verse 7, that's rubbish. Now, then there's another one in verse 8, the other part of verse 8. Count them as rubbish, right? Now, this time the word rubbish is actually the word something worse than rubbish. What's something worse than rubbish? No, what's something worse than scum? What? What's worse than rubbish? Just now, the winner was not going to mention it. Yes, dung. Dung. Okay, cow dung. Ah, what? My PSLE result, my O level results, all the things that I have achieved. How did Paul see it? He sees it as cow dung. Oh my. Huh? Why? Because if we really want to know the Lord Jesus, we cannot be proud. We cannot be confident about our own self. It's very important for us to have a very humble approach to life and to say, okay, you know what? I really want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see this? Why? Why do I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Because there are a lot of people out there that are not good Christians. Well, Christians should be good, right? But there are some people who call themselves Christians and they even call themselves pastors, but they are not very good pastors and teachers. They are what we call false teachers. And in the world today, there are many of them. And so Paul was very concerned. You know, you guys got to look out for these people. Because he says in verse 2, beware of dogs. Wow! You know, have you ever gone to a person's house and the person put a sign there, beware of dogs? Huh? Have you ever come across any of your house got the word there, beware of dogs? No, huh? I come across a house near pastor's house. Okay, I recently, I don't know whether you have been reading the newspaper, there is this lady who is being conned by a Chinese tour guide. Have you all heard about this fellow? Now, this lady, her name, I call her Auntie Catherine. It's actually a personal friend of mine. Is the husband is a doctor, passed away already, used to be my family doctor. I grew up going to the clinic. Every time we were sick, and we were, Pastor Mark and I, when we were young, we were very, very sick. Okay? You can't imagine it, but last time, two of us were very thin. Very thin. Like, okay, maybe the size of Joseph. Very thin. Cannot believe that, Pastor Mark. But Pastor Mark used to be... You know, Pastor Mark used to be very thin. And I used to be very thin. Wow, I didn't eat then. Don't know why, cannot... very thin. And very weak. very sick all the time. Very sickly. Always go and see a doctor. So one day, the family doctor say, okay... Mrs. Tan, my mom, you got to fatten up your children, your twins. Every weekend, you got to pump them with vitamins. Every day, pump them with vitamins, cod liver oil, or don't know what oil. And so every day, I'll take cod liver oil and all kinds of vitamins. Weekend, we will go to Jalan Kayu, eat mutton soup and roti prata. Every weekend, Saturday, Sunday, we go there and eat every week. So, then my mom will buy meat and all kinds of things. Wow, every time I go to this supermarket, the whole, I used to, go with, last time they sit in the trolley. Then after that, bit by bit, she fatten up. So from very thin, she overdid it. She really overdid it. Burning fire. You jump into the water, no need to swim, just float. then after that, okay. But this lady, we used to know. And you know what? She gave money to this man. Okay? Now, when we were young, we used to go to the house. And in that house, there's a big sign. Beware of dogs. Okay, and I enjoy going to the house. You know why? Because there's a big swimming pool. Private swimming pool. Okay? But before we enter the swimming pool, we have to go through her dogs. And she had 7 dogs. And not small ones. Huge ones. There's one so big. Okay, bigger than me. When the fellow stand up, he's bigger than me. He's I think it's called a Saint Bernard. Huge fellow. And he has stripes like a tiger. Okay, and they call him Lo Fu. And so every time we want to go into the swimming pool, okay, the guy would be, this huge fellow, Lo Fu, would be at the side. He would bark, whoa, whoa, whoa. And so, then he would run to the entrance. Then we cannot go in already. So we had to distract him. So Pastor Mark is big. He will run to the side. And he sees Pastor Mark, he will run all the way to the other side, around the house. And then when he's there, I will open the door and say, come Mark! So Mark will run, and then two of us, and then we will run towards the swimming pool. The swimming pool, from the gate to the swimming pool, is like from here to maybe office. It's quite far. So as we were running, we will take out our t-shirt, we will take out the goggles, and then he's coming. The guy's coming with the whistle. And we gotta jump into the swimming pool. You see him coming. And then the guy comes. Then he will stop growing. Like a lion. But actually, he's a little timid. He just want to have fun, But we pretend that he's like a big lion coming to you. And then beware of dogs. Now, Paul is referring to these false teachers as dogs. know, he hates these fellows so much, he calls them dogs. Dogs is like, in a Jewish society, is like the lowest person. You know, sorry, lowest animal. Okay, it's an insult. And he says, beware of them, beware of these evil workers. Okay, and so we have to look out. And you know, it's very important, young people, that we must know the Lord Jesus well. Okay, because these fellows will try to deceive us. They will try to come up with all kinds of wrong ideas to deceive you. To tell you, you know, this is the right thing, but actually it's the wrong thing. And you can be easily deceived. Some people say, oh, you know, Aaron, come. You know, you come to my church. We sing. Listen to God's word. No need to listen to God's word. You just sing. And then we can dance. You know, you can sing, Aaron? No. Never mind, you can learn how to dance. And we all can dance up and down. And, you know, we can just sing and sing and sing and worship God. Jonathan, how? Interesting. Not interesting. How? Jeremy, bring your sister along. In a family. And you know, we can just worship God. We need to study the scriptures as much. Why study the scriptures? You know what? God can speak to you directly. What do you do? Walk away. Very good. Don't walk away from that thing again, but stay here. Walk away from them. But stay here, because they are this first. And it's so important, young people, to know the Lord Jesus well. Okay? And here we see Paul doing that. In verse 7, he says, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Knowledge. And you know, I hope that you will take time to build your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To know the Lord Jesus well. To develop a very powerful knowledge of who Jesus is. There are so many things to discover. You know, I tell you, to me, this is the most exciting thing to know. It's about knowing, having the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, I like, when I was young, I don't really like knowledge. I like to do things. But when I grew older, I began to be excited about discovering new things. And one of them is to discover about weather. You know weather? Why the weather is hot? Why clouds float? Why clouds have this shape? You know, when you see a cloud like this, what do you see? Okay, let's ask for all those study geography. What do you see? What is this? Cumulus nimbus. Okay, cumulus. Sorry? Cumulonimbus. Okay, it's called cumulonimbus. What kind of cloud is this? Yeah, it's a thunderstorm cloud. Okay, when I was in Air Force, I had to study all these things. It was very, very exciting. Okay, you know, sometimes when you see this thing coming, you stop for a while, you look at the top. You actually can see the top rising. You know, it's actually rising by 1,000 feet per second. It's very fast. And it's amazing. So I became very excited about, you know, when you see something, when you see a cloud like that. What do you see? It's like an anvil. What does it, when you see, have you seen a cloud like this? You do see it from time to time. What does it mean? When you see an anvil, a cloud that looks like an anvil. You know what's an anvil? Anvil is like, you know, when they, you know, the other days when they hit, No. You know, when they try to form metal things, sword and all, they use an anvil to hit it. This is like an anvil. You know what it means? It means that the cumulonimbus, the rain has been dissipated. Then it is gone, it becomes like that. Okay, I know it's not exciting, but to me it was very exciting. Huh? But you know, after I left the Air Force, I began to find having the knowledge of Jesus Christ really exciting. It's far more exciting than flying a helicopter. It's far more exciting than playing water polo. It's far more exciting than anything that I've experienced. I began to discover who Jesus is. You know, I hope the next 2 months of your holidays, many of you are having holidays very soon. Some of you are having O-levels, okay? But soon, it'll be holiday time. I hope you will take the time to increase your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can see that this is truly something worthwhile, something spending lots of time doing. Okay? Now, number two. It's not just having the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, it is also to know Him. We read in verse 10, that I may know Him. I hope that as you take time to grow in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus, that you will know Jesus personally, as a person. Can Jesus, who's invisible, who we know to some extent, someone who died on a cross for us, we all know that in history. But can He be a person I know personally today? Can that be done? And my answer is yes. Now I ask you a question, all of you. All of you, look up. Do you know Jesus personally, as a person? What do I mean by that? Okay, for example, Camille. I've known her since she was a little girl. I've known her. Okay? Do you know me personally? Camille, do you know me? What's my favorite color?
Oh, that one I don't know.
Okay, what do you know about me?
I know that you used to not love children, and then now you have grown to love them.
Okay.
How about the children you didn't love?
Well, no. No lah. You are lovable. Can I know Jesus as like, can you know me personally? Can you all know that? Do you know me or not, Jeremy? Do you know me? A bit, right? Every Saturday, there's this cranky looking fellow, old fellow, who can't talk to me about Jesus and the Word of God. Is that how much you know me? No, you know a bit more about me, right? Yes. But can you know Jesus personally? That I may know Him. My answer is yes. As a real person. As a true living person. Yes, He's invisible. But I can still know Him personally. I can discover Him. I can know more and wonderful things about the Lord Jesus. So my question to you this afternoon. Do you know Jesus personally? As a person. Do you know? I know Shane. When she was young, together with her little sister, Ying Sui, they all would come to my office at the time when I needed to do my work. And they'll come and knock the door, pass to me, on Sunday, and they're coming. Especially the sister. So and she will come, Pastor, and she will come and then, hey, Pastor, what is this? What is that? And then she will sit down and, Pastor Mitch, how are you? And then, when they were what, 24, 25? I got nothing to do like that, you know. Every time come and but you know, I known her until big, you know. until she's a teacher now, right? And I've known many of you, Joanne and all the others, all the guys, from young until now, and you know them well. Can we all know Jesus well? Can we do? Can we really know Jesus well? My answer is yes. Joseph, can you know Jesus well? My answer is yes. Personally, you can. All of you can. Because that's what Paul sought to do. He sought to know him and the power of his resurrection. You know, some of us, we can go deeper. We can go deeper in our relationship with the Lord Jesus, where we can discover not just knowledge, not just knowing Him personally, but you can experience the power of God in your life. Have you experienced the power of God in your life? I have. I've seen that power work in my life, and it can work in your life too. Sometimes you look at your life and you think, you know what? I cannot change. I cannot grow beyond a certain level. My answer to you is that don't look at yourself. There is that power of the resurrection of Christ to depend upon. Turn with me to Ephesians 1. In Ephesians 1, we read in verse 19, it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe?" You see, let me ask you, do you believe in such power? Do you believe that there's such power that God can give us through the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of in the heavenly places? You know that power that rose Jesus from the dead? Recently, I have a new tree, pine, small little trees in my apartment. Okay, it's called something pine, I can't remember. Anyway, with the pine trees came ants. And my wife, she said, "Wow, so many ants." So asked me to go and buy poison for the ants. I say easier way to deal with the ants is just wipe the poison away, that's it, or die. But okay, say remember I killed one of the ant. Can I resurrect the ant? Resurrect ant, come on, rise. Can I do that or not? Can you do it or not? Bethany, wow, you try every day. Can the end rise or not? No, you can't. None of us can. So you can imagine the kind of power that raised Jesus from the dead. Wow, what kind of power is that? That is, to me, out of this world kind of power. You know what? Young people, that power is available to you if you know how to find it. If you know how to tap into it. See, I imagine God's power is like a nuclear plant. Any of you study nuclear plant? How much power you can have from a nuclear plant? I don't mean plant as in, you know, green plant. You know, those huge thousands and billions of, you know, kilowatts. All you have to do is what? Plug into the wire that leads to the nuclear plant. Of course, Singapore don't have, but in China, in America, they have nuclear plants. And you know what? That power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us. Do you know that? And it's available to all of you. But it's, you have to say, you know what? I believe. I want to know the Lord Jesus. I want to know Him personally. And the power of His resurrection. Okay? So, young people this afternoon, let me ask you the same question again. Do you know Jesus personally? Maybe it's a question you have asked before, but you know, ask yourself, do you know Him? Do you really, really know Him? And if you know Him, do you know His power? Have you experienced that power in your life? That power is available to you. And you can discover the Lord in a wonderful way, in an exciting way. Far more than anything that you can experience in this world. Okay? You know, I see some people, they do the rainbow room thing. Huh? And on YouTube, you can find out, you know, all kinds of things. You can do rainbow room jacket. You know, a jacket made of rainbow room, of rubber band, rainbow room. You know? You can make a car out of rubber band. Well, what else can you make? Skateboard and all kinds of funny things. Right? And you know, people are excited. Wow, it's so interesting. But you know what? I find greater excitement knowing the Lord Jesus. And you know, to me, there's no greater excitement than to know the Lord Jesus personally. Okay? You think about it? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this afternoon, we'd like to humbly come before You, and we pray, dear Lord, that You will help us. Help us to know the Lord Jesus personally. Maybe we only know Him from the Bible. We know that He died for us on the cross. We know that He has done wonderful things. But we may not know Him personally. And I want to pray this afternoon that, Lord, You will help us to desire within our heart to discover and to know the Lord Jesus in a personal way. And I pray, dear Father, for each one of us here, that we can also go beyond knowing to discovering great power that is available to us through the Lord Jesus. And we want to pray especially for those who are going to prepare and take their exams, or those who are taking O-levels. Pray that You be with each one and help them to be able to find the power from You, to be strengthened in the inner man, and to be able to do their very best for You. So we ask for Your blessing, and bless us as we give this offering to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's give our offering.